Well, we are on the tail end of our evangelism and apologetics series. We are fast approaching the end. There is some maybe rare possibility we can even finish today. We will see. I'd like to talk about Unity Church. I'd like to talk about Universal Unitarians. I'd like to talk about environmentalism as a sort of religion. And we'll see how far we get. And then maybe just wrap up our series with a few final thoughts. So there was a movement called the New Thought Movement. Anybody ever heard of the New Thought Movement? Probably not. This is like early 1800s. And in this New Thought Movement, there was three groups that emerged from it. Unity Church, which is one we'll really talk about today. Religious Science, different than Christian Science and different than Scientology. And another one called Church of Divine Science. And all three of these had a lot of similar ideas. It was a very pantheistic, idea that we all have a divine spark of some sort in us. And God is this, what's called an infinite intelligence that's all-powerful, that is all-present, that ultimately the physical world is secondary, the spiritual world is what's really important, which is itself that divine spark inside all of us. And the idea is if you connect with this divine aspect, then you can have healing in your life and a wonderful, powerful life in how you live. Well, of those three groups that I mentioned, Unity Church has a lot of that idea mixed in with the Bible and Christianity. And I wanted us to talk about this because there is a Unity Church here in Marin. I think, not just here in Marin, here in Novato. And I think it's one of the biggest churches, if you want to call them a church, here in Novato. Have you guys ever heard of Unity Church here in Novato? Anybody know where they meet? Meet over in Hamilton? This is not like this just theoretical thing. It's something that's right around the corner. I meet people all the time who go to Unity Church. It seems like a pretty big gathering. And what I think is disturbing to me is how it's often presented as Christianity of a different sort in some regard, but it's often presented like it's got Christian roots. And when you look at what they really teach and what they really believe, I think it's fair to say very quickly that it's not Christianity. Do they use the Bible? Yes, they use the Bible in a lot of their stuff. My understanding, they use other books too, other holy books too. But let's just learn a little bit about what makes Unity Church different by me reading a few things off their website. They have an FAQ, and then we'll think about how we respond to that. So in their FAQ, does Unity believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ? Yes. Unity teaches that the Spirit of God dwelt in Jesus just as it indwells every person, and that every person has the potential to express the perfection of Christ as Jesus did by being more Christ-like in everyday life. Anybody notice a problem with that? I've seen smiles. Who wants to be bold enough?
You can be God.
Yeah. And you can be Christ.
Yes.
They make a very kind of distinction. When we hear Jesus Christ, right, we don't think like, well, he's Jesus here and Christ is some separate entity. But that's kind of what they're basically saying. They're saying Jesus is a human who became divine as he experienced the Christ Spirit in him. And it's that same Christ Spirit in Jesus the man that any of us can have. And so the end result is, what makes any of us different than Jesus Christ? You see the significant difference there? You know, we talk about the eternal Son of God becoming man. And that's a unique phenomenon, if you want to use that word. A unique occurrence, a unique historical event that none of us will ever do. Now, yes, the Spirit of God, as Christians, has come upon us. But that's very different than us being the incarnated Son of God. And in that sense, Jesus Christ is uniquely divine as the God-man. Where would you point someone to in the Bible to make that case?
Well, Jesus is God, man?
Yeah, to even just contradict what I just read from their website, where would
John,
you start?
John 1.
John 1, I think that's the place to go. I mean, there's other places, sure. But John 1, you've got in there, this is a good verse or chapter to really get in your mind. In fact, look, flip over there real quick. John 1. So John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you're going to argue like they do, I guess you would see that the Word there is the very Christ Spirit that they say all of us can recognize as inside us. But you go on, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So again, right away, distinction from all of creation is the Word, the eternal Son of God. And yet goes on, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now, that Word, that eternal Son of God, became flesh. It doesn't say Jesus was born and He came upon Jesus. Or Jesus was born and He decided that, or Jesus figured this out, that we all have this ability to be Christ and divine. No, that's not what it says. It says that the Word was sent, became flesh, Jesus Christ. And something unique about it, that we, other people, could behold God's glory through Him. And verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The only begotten Son. There's something unique about what Jesus Christ is and does as He reveals God. And so, at the end of the day, they claim Jesus Christ being divine, and then they immediately wipe away any real biblical significance of that by essentially saying what Jesus was, you can become exactly the same. Essentially, that's what they're saying. So, that's a problem. Hope you guys all realize that. Okay, let's read on what else their website says. What does Unity teach about sin and salvation, heaven and hell? Their website says, sin is our separation from God in consciousness, caused by our belief in the devil or a power other than good, other than God, the good. This belief leads to our unwise use of our God-given powers and abilities. Salvation is now, not something that occurs after death. It happens whenever we turn our thoughts, repent, from fear, anxiety, worry, and doubt, to thoughts of love, harmony, joy, and peace. The fall takes place in consciousness whenever we fall into negative habits of thinking. And he goes on in the next thing, it says, heaven and hell are states of consciousness, not geographical locations. We make our own heaven or hell here and now by our thoughts, words, and deeds. This is Unity Church here in Marin. What do you guys think? Does that sound like a Christian teaching?
Parts of it sounds like Joel
Osteen. Parts of it sounds like Joel. Isn't that the sad thing? Someone who mainstream Christianity often looks to, and we would say, this guy seems a lot like a Nazi. He's preaching health and wealth. Right. Joel Osteen is preaching health and wealth. And sadly, this church, Unity Church, sounds a lot like Joel Osteen. I think it's a fair comparison. So what's wrong about this statement here? Point out some of the things that's wrong about it.
Well, it doesn't address sin.
Okay.
Sin in personal lives. Sin is part of us. It's not something outside that we control, that we can focus on this, focus on that. Mm. And we need Christ's death on the cross to gain forgiveness for this sin.
Huge aspect that's completely missing.
Yeah.
For them, they didn't even use the word sin, or I guess they used to say sin. Sin for them, they're saying, is
more of an attitude, more of an
outcome. Yeah, if I've got a negative attitude, I'm going the wrong direction. I just need to turn from that to the positive thoughts of life. But you're right, there's no atonement there. We'd also then have to say there's no justice there either for the evil that they've done, the evil any of us have done. There's no justice being served there.
What was our one phrase, Pastor? Salvation is now, it's not a future.
Yeah, this is something I think extremely concerning. Salvation is now, not something that occurs after death. And so heaven and hell are states of mind, not geographical locations. Is that biblical? It's not biblical. There's countless things in the Bible that talk about heaven and hell as a place. Revelation 20 is all about why we can suffer here and now, because in the end it's all going to work out, because Christ is coming back. He's going to bring the new Jerusalem down out of heaven to the new heavens, the new earth. Those things sound like geographical locations. And that's just one example. So, yeah, there's a number of problems in this idea here. One last quote from their website, and this is where you see how they really use the Bible. What does unity mean by metaphysical interpretation of the Bible? Metaphysical interpretation of the Bible. Metaphysics refers to searching for an underlying philosophical or theoretical principle. In the context of the Bible, this means going beyond a literal interpretation of the words to find the deeper truths. Truths that we can apply today so that we may live the essence of the message of love exemplified by our way shower, Jesus the Christ. What do you guys think about that?
I know.
What about with regard to interpreting the Bible?
Sounds like you can pick and choose.
Kind of up or down.
Pretty much.
Whatever it wants to interpret.
The deeper truths. Right? So they ignore the literal truths to find the deeper truths. My claim could be that whatever they do with the Bible literally could be done with almost any book. You could pick nursery rhymes. You could pick Paul Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, which is a good book. Right? And do that. Did I say something wrong there? John Bunyan, thank you. I knew the laugh, I had to make a mistake. John Bunyan, thank you.
I'm with you.
Some guy. You can make any book, I think, and do this. Because at the end of the day, who decides what's a deeper truth or not? I think it's man-centered again, right? What do I think is right? I'm going to find that in there. Because at the end of the day, to ignore the literal truth, to find the deeper truths, means you have to ignore the literal truth, what it's actually telling you. And the reason why they ignore it is because they don't want heaven and hell to be a geographical location. They don't want sin to have to be atoned for. They don't want Jesus to be someone more unique than any of us could be. Because in the day, they want to be divine, pantheistic, as I said at the start. This is a problem. How do we interpret the Bible? Anybody know if I was in seminary class, they would say, you know, what's the method we use to interpret the Bible? Anyone know the name of that method? It's okay if you don't. I wouldn't expect you to, but I don't have my thing. Grammatical historical method. Grammatical historical method. And the grammatical historical method is basically saying we take the grammar, in other words, the literal language as it's said in the grammar, what is it actually communicating? And we understand it from the historical context in which that language is used and the events occur. So, if it talks about going up to, going over to Bethany from the other side of the Jordan, we can see and plot out in our minds the path they went and know what went on. So, and if they use an idiom that would have been used that way at the time, like the Hebrews say your nose burned and that meant you got angry. So we understand the literal language from the grammatical side of it and the historical aspect, and we understand literally what the text is communicating. And this is where modernism or theological liberalism has gone wrong. They've gotten rid of that interpretive practice. And this is where this church essentially goes wrong, because they have a metaphysical interpretation of the Bible, which means beyond what the text is actually saying, what do we want to find out of it, essentially. Trudy?
It almost seems like any offense is taken out. Because same thing with the emerging church. Any offense, an offense is Christ, the only way to take the life and over sins.
Yeah.
And anyone reading the entire Bible gets the complete thought, but these different cults are just taking snippets throwing out anything offensive and doing anything that makes people feel good.
Yeah, and what we see time and time again, humans want a religion that lets them do what's right in their own eyes.
Right.
And so Christians, when we dialogue with people who go to Unity Church, will say, oh, well, this is the same stuff. Look, we study the Bible. Here's what we study. Look, and you'll see some Bible passages here. But this is what's so dangerous, because this is exactly what Satan does. We'll talk about it in our sermon today. One of the things he does is he masquerades as an angel of light, and it says that as an angel of light, if he masquerades that way, don't you think his servants might masquerade as servants of righteousness? Or as people who study the Bible? But they really don't, because they're perverting God's word, just like Jesus Satan tried to pervert to Jesus God's word in the temptation in the wilderness. This is what Satan likes to do. So we have to be on guard against that. 2 Timothy 4:1 says this: I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You guys see any application there? This is people bringing in teachers to tell them what they wanted to hear in the first place, and literally making up myths. Myths! Because where else do they get this stuff? The Bible doesn't talk about it. It just isn't there. And so, you know, save people from these. If they're saying, I moved to the area and I'm looking for a Christian church, and they say, I heard there's this Unity church, seems like a lot of people go there, say, no. Here's why. Just go on their website. All right, any questions on Unity Church? If anyone from Unity Church happens to be listening to our recording on the web, I'd be glad to dialogue about these things. And if I've said anything incorrect on your views, I would be happy to dialogue with you in person. So I don't want to misrepresent anything. This is just straight from their website. So maybe the website's wrong, but that's what their website said. So okay. Sure, yes, questions?
I don't know if you said this already. Is this one church or is it a denomination?
It's a denomination. I don't know if they use that language, but it's a denomination. Like I said, 1800s is when this movement started, called New Thought Movement. Three main branches. The one that had the most Christian appearance to it is the Unity Church. And there are Unity Churches in other places besides just Marin. So you can find this elsewhere. I don't know where else. I do know, drive on 19th, I think I see a Unity Church on the right-hand side when you're going north through San Francisco. I think there's a Unity Church there.
Okay.
So. Any Unity Churches in the Valley, Reverend Paul Trey?
I haven't seen one.
Oh, good.
We're disunified.
What's that?
We're disunified.
That's a good thing. Have you even heard of Unity Churches? I didn't hear until I came up here.
No.
Good, you don't want to know. You can listen online if you want. Any other questions on Unity Church? There's one in town here. We're going through an apologetics series dealing with how to respond to different world religions and cults. We're on the tail end of it. We just finished Unity Church, and now we're going to go on to Universal Unitarians. You guys ever heard of this branch, this denomination? That's probably a much more widespread one. The name is a little unwieldy because there used to be Universalists and there used to be Unitarians, and at some point they merged together, and so now that's the Universal Unitarians, UU Church. And you go on their website again here for this. This is just, I'm going to read you more from their listed beliefs. They don't even like that word, belief. They would call themselves a liberal church. Like, that's the language they like to use about themselves. They're a liberal church. They define themselves that way. And they don't mean liberal in the politics sense. They mean in the religious sense. And what maybe identifies them is if you're of any religion and you're on the liberal branch of it, this is the place for you. They want to be completely open-minded, it seems, and open-dialogued about any sort of quest for spirituality, religion, morality, positive humanity. At the end of the day, they're a complete syncretistic religion. They'll sometimes make use of the Bible. They'll make use of any, quote, holy book. And even it says on their website, you go on, they're very clear that atheists are welcomed members in their church to be dialoguing along with everyone else. How you can be an atheist in any church as a member of Good Standing, I have no idea how that works. I do have an idea for them, because at the end of the day, I think it's all about how to improve humanity from a feel-good, whatever we think sounds great idea, and a warm, fuzzy feel to it. And I don't think that many people in Marin go to one of these congregations, but my gut is like almost everybody in Marin would feel right at home. That everyone in Marin believes this, essentially. Not everyone, but a large majority, that this is their religion. Because it's a religion that's like, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, is what I hear a lot. I think we're all just kind of going toward that same general direction. It works for you, great, this is what works for me, and we all got spiritual lessons to learn. This is the church for you, if that's the case. Why you even have to go to church in that case, I don't know, but that's what this church is all about. Kim and I were dialing on this. Why is there even a church like this? Because there's certain people that want to take that next step, that they want to have community and feel good about not having any real substantive viewpoints, but just kind of going down this journey. And so this is the church for you, and they do a lot of social projects and social good. Pretty much, there's only one thing that doesn't seem to fit here, which is strongly held doctrinal beliefs. If you have strongly held doctrinal beliefs, this is not the place for you. Otherwise, you can be Buddhist, Hindu, atheist, Christian, and they say you're welcome to come. If you go on their website, they have seven principles. You go on our website, we have a doctrinal statement, right? Most churches love a doctrinal statement. They specifically say these aren't really beliefs. They're principles that guide us. And I'm sorry if I'm putting a tone in there that they probably wouldn't put, but seven principles. I'm just going to mention these. I should write them out, but they're not valuable enough for us to spend the time writing them out. The inherent worth and dignity of every person, that's principle number one. The inherent worth and dignity of every person. Number two, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Three, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. Acceptance of one another. This is what they talk about. We accept everyone. Four.
Except for people with strongly held doctrinal beliefs.
I think so. That's not in there, a statement, but I think in practice you'll find that to be the case. That's what I found to be the case from people who hold these ideas, even though maybe don't go to the church. Actually, that's not fair to say, because I got an email from a Unitarian Universalist woman pastor who wanted to know if she could teach at our church. And I dialogued with her, and at the end of the day, she did not was not willing to accept my views. So, so that is a principle that for her is only broadly used, I guess. Four, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Five, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. Six, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. And seven, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Now, those sound real nice in some regard, but what do you guys think is the problem with these principles? Or is there a problem with these principles? We'll give it over to your mother-in-law out of deference for your mother-in-law.
Age.
That's right.
They're just so humanistic. It's all about what they can do to better themselves in this world.
Yeah, absolutely.
By their own strength and power thoughts, whatever.
The problem is, man's been trying that in different ways all through history. In some sense, they would say they're successful. But from our perspective, from a biblical perspective, are they really successful?
They could be the environmentalists of today. They could be, they could just be any little branch of things that we would call kind of weird or too much.
Yeah. Paul?
Well, one of the things obviously missing is Christ.
Mm.
But I'm wondering, in your study of this, what's their view of the Trinity?
Of the Unitarian Universalist? Well, that would be a doctrine.
Well, no. It's a bad word, but what is their view of Christ? Is he...
Well, so that's what I'm saying. Is I really admit that as a serious response. They don't buy into doctrine. So atheists, Buddhists, Mormons, Hindus, if they were wanted to be there, anybody could be there. And this idea of Trinity is from their perspective, I think, one way in which we've experienced divinity in culture.